each time we read the scriptures, I ask you to read it with an open mind again, like you've never read the scriptures before. No matter if you've read them thousands of times, it doesn't matter. Each time you go back through it, allow the Holy Spirit to give you fresh revelation on God's unconditional love and grace. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. If you want to, you can turn to John 3:16. Most of you can probably quote it because you've heard it over and over and over and over again. It said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, The reason I'm pausing, I'm letting that soak in. Now, to go along with this, they usually say, turn or burn, or you're going to hell if you don't change your ways and all these type of things. And that's not really what that scripture says, is it? Because there's some words here at the end. It says that you should not perish, but have everlasting life. So missing hell is a great thing. Having your sins forgiven, that's an awesome thing. And if that all, if that's only what the gospel is about, then we did good. We did real good. You know, that's awesome. But it says have everlasting life. And then people say, well, okay, everlasting life means you'll live forever. Well, the scriptures say that everyone will exist forever. Some will exist in the presence of God, those who have been born again, those who are saved. And other people will exist for a while in hell, separated from God, and then later on they'll be cast in the lake of the fire, lake of fire with the demonic realm and Satan himself. And that's where they'll spend eternity, separated from God, in torment. So, true, it's not really life, but there will be an existence after death, and that's what the scriptures teach. So what does it mean by everlasting life? We think, well, everlasting life is, okay, that's living with God in heaven for eternity. And that's good, but that's still not the definition. Some of you are looking like, where did you get this from? Well, the Bible comments on itself. Believe it or not, the Bible is its own commentary. Okay? Now that I've got your attention.
I got lots of questions. I'm going to wait and see how this goes.
Good. Good. I'm glad. Turn over to John 17:3. And he defines it. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Do you realize that what this definition says, that everlasting life, eternal life, life eternal, those are all synonymous with what he's talking about, actually begins right now in this world. It starts now. And we have the benefits of it right now in this world. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to enjoy things. I'll let that sink in a little bit. Everlasting life, life eternal, it begins now. Whenever you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior personally, then you have a relationship with God that no man can separate, that no demon, no devil, no Satan, nothing can separate that relationship that you have with God. He loves us. So it's all about Jesus and what He did, not about us and what we can perform or how we can work up our faith or be righteous or anything like that. It's all about Jesus and what He did. We just receive what He did and it becomes ours. That word know in the John 17:3, that you might know God. I think the Western mentality today is so far from the the Eastern mindset whenever the scriptures were written, that we have no comprehension of what that word really means. If you go back to Genesis, whenever it says that Adam knew Eve, in the biblical context, that means a husband and wife procreating another being from their relationship. And so, from that intimacy that takes place, from knowing that other person intimately, inside and out, that knowing of whenever a person starts a sentence, that you're already in tune with that person, that you can finish that sentence, you know them that well. The same thing with intimacy here. Whenever you know God, you know that God is good. You know that from firsthand experience. You know that He doesn't destroy people. Well, what about the Old Testament? You're in the New Testament today. He said that Jesus took all of His wrath for all sin, for all men, for all time upon Himself. God poured out His wrath on Jesus so we don't suffer that wrath. So God doesn't destroy people today at all. Not His children. God reserves judgment, yes. But His judgment has to do with people that refuse to know His Son, His Savior. And so God's very explicit about that. So today, look at knowing as being not only know the facts, but also be able to, if you're given a situation, able to apply the principle in any given situation. Such as God's goodness. And if you look at the word sozo in salvation, if you look that up, that they might be saved. Saved has to do with delivered. It also has to do with healed. It also has to do with preserved. It always has to do with a bunch of things. Prospered. All these things are wrapped up. It's a package deal that God has given us. He hasn't just limited it to, okay, you're going to be in heaven with me, your sins are forgiven, so that's it. These things actually have to do with now. Because in heaven, there's no demons. In heaven, there's nothing to be delivered from. There's no sickness in heaven. So here is where that salvation comes, that sozo comes into contact. And it's made by the life of God. That abundant life is the life of God that's resident within us now. He gave us life. He gave it more abundantly. So that we can enjoy that same life here on this earth. True, things have gone awry. Things come against you. It doesn't mean you have to be on that level. Because you can have peace in the middle of chaos. In verse 2 here in 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, grace and peace be multiplied. Now that's a mouthful. We could spend several weeks on that, but we had to go on because I didn't realize that grace and peace could be multiplied, but it can in our lives. It says, grace and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Have you heard that before? In the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. Sounds like the definition of eternal life, doesn't it? As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That means life here on this earth. In the down and dirty now and now, it means now. Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. So it says His divine power, He gave us all things. Things, not spiritualizing anything, things, health, deliverance, prosperity, well-being, sound mind, all these things He's given to us now.
But it does come with a condition.
Mm-hmm. Through the knowledge of Him.
Right.
Hark, you've got it. Yeah, if you don't know God, you don't know what you have.
Exactly.
And if you think God's against you, you will never receive from Him other than fire insurance. And let's read on down. by which have been given, that's past tense, it's already been provided. God is a good God. He already gave the provision for it. He did all the work for us, but it's up to us to receive what Christ did. It's up for us to receive what God has already given us as far as blessings here on this earth. It says, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped, here it is, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Again, we can have peace in the middle of chaos. God says here that we've escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He's given us the ability that we can operate at a different plane, at a different level. No matter what's happening in this world, He has a different solution for it. His Word says that Jesus became poor so that we could prosper. He has His own prosperity plan. It's called give and you shall receive. Press down, shake together, and overflow, and shall men give in your bosom. He says that seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And the things that He mentioned is, what shall I put on? What shall I wear? What shall I drive? Where am I going to live? How am I going to pay for the power bill? What are we going to do? He says that He has provided for those things. But it says it comes from knowing Him. Knowing that He's a good God. He is love. He loves us and cares for everything that we go through. And He has a way because He's already been there and He can report as to what the next step should be. Are we listening to Him? Are we going on our own trying to figure things out? If you had a person up in a tower and he was looking down on a road course and you were driving a car in a race and you had radio contact with that person saying, there's a bad left turn up ahead of you. It's 90 degrees. It comes back on itself. Watch out. You're approaching it now. Okay. Decrease speed now. All right. There's nobody else coming in that other lane. Say that you're racing on the road that's got two-way traffic. You can cut the corner close and make it okay. Well, you can listen to those directions. You'll probably win the race if you're in a road race where there's actually traffic on the road. But if you don't, you approach that curve. If you took your own advice and cut that corner short and there had to be a car coming, you wouldn't make it. See, He has a different perspective. He's already been in the future. Because He's the God of all creation. He's the God of all eternity. If you can think of eternity past and eternity future, He already knows ahead of time what's going on. So you think He can give you good advice as to how to manage a little situation that you're going through now if you just listen to Him? Do you think if you know God, knowing that He loves you? He says that my sheep do hear my voice and they will not follow another. But here's the question. Are we listening? Are we looking at the circumstances and allow the circumstances to overwhelm us? Are we saying, I know my God, and my God has provided for me and my house?
In my circumstances today, that it makes people shout, hallelujah!
I told you it'd be good news today, didn't I, Cindy?
Hallelujah, that's right, yes, sir.
So God has, the song says, made a way where there seems to be no way. But the God of the universe, you can actually know Him. He knows you on first name basis. What He wants you to do is get to know Him on first name basis. His name is I Am. And if you put a blank I Am and put a blank after it, it's whatever you need. He's the answer to everything, every problem, every decision, everything that you have. He is the great I Am. Does it mean there's not going to be problems in life? No. Does it mean that you have the victory already for that situation? Yes. Because He says that we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. You're not only conquerors of that situation, you're more than conquerors. You don't just get by, you excel. I don't know if I'm getting across to you, but I'm happy. God is a good God. He doesn't just have love, He is love. He hasn't just provided the God that's just enough. He's a God of abundance. And He says that He has given to us abundant life. It's a matter of whether or not we'll get in line with Him by saying, okay, if you look at it as a child, whenever a child comes to you, they know you as their parent, they know you as daddy, and they say, daddy, let's do so-and-so, knowing that you already want to do it before they ask. If you have a candy bar and they come up to you, will they take it out of your hand, take a bite off of it, and give it back? Yeah. Because they know it's theirs. Because you're daddy. And whatever you have, it's theirs.
Will they jump off of a balcony into your arms expecting you to pick them up?
Yeah.
She'll do it every time. She'll jump.
Yeah.
It has no idea. I mean, what if I missed her or couldn't get her or whatever, you know? She's got complete faith that her daddy's going to get her, and that's the same faith we should have.
When you know God, that He's not going to drop you, that He's even a better daddy than anybody in here has ever had in the natural, you'll step out in faith. You'll do what the Scripture tells you to do.
That's exciting. But why do we sometimes lose that focus?
He thinks each person's different. But whenever we get our eyes off of Jesus like Peter did, whenever he said, yeah, it's me, come on, and he was walking on the water, he was above the circumstances, wasn't he?
Absolutely.
But he says, whenever he saw the wind and the wave, he began to sing. What did he do with his focus? What does Matthew 6:33 say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Whenever you take your eyes off the Lord and knowing Him, being intimate with Him, knowing that He's a good God and everything that He's promised shall come to pass in your life if you just receive Him. Do things His way. Not make up your own rules, not do your own deal. And say, well, I'm going to do this, God, bless it. Listen to Him. Have an intimate relationship with God. And He says all these things should be added unto you. Don't worry about them in the meantime. Take no thought, say. Take no thought, say. It goes right along with what Henry had talked about. The gold mine is in your mouth. So God has already provided for us when you know me as daddy. We're sons and daughters of God. He adopted us. We've been adopted into His family. Out of the family of the world, we've been adopted. And it says that we're heirs and joint heirs with Christ. And here's the difference, so you'll understand this. Here's the difference between in the natural inheritance and in God's inheritance program. In the natural, two people in the family, two sons. Okay, the law would say that equally the two brothers would share. Right? That means 50% and 50%, which makes 100% of the inheritance. God's inheritance says differently. Because God owns the earth and all the hills and all the cattle. It's His ownership. We're stewards in possession of it right now, but it's God's ownership. He says, okay, my Jesus died for you. So He exchanged what He has for what you had, which was sin and corruption and grief and all this kind of stuff. He took your grief. He took your sins. He took your heartache. He took everything. In exchange, He gave you the keys to the kingdom. So He says, whatever Jesus had is yours now. You're an heir. So you get 100% and you get 100%. You get it all.
You get one too.
You get it all. So it's not halving it up. Every child of God has equal ownership and rights and privileges, the same that Jesus has. Because he said, we're joint heirs with Jesus.